Well, we continue our study in the book of Acts this morning. And as Rob just read to us, we're looking in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 21. Last week, we just dwelt for a few moments on those first 12 verses of Acts chapter 2 and just wondered at the way in which God chose, having ascended to the right hand of the Father, he chose to send his Holy Spirit that we wouldn't be left floundering, but that actually he would enable us to be the people he created us to be and to work with us. One of the things that I really would love for us to be doing in this next 10 days as we approach the church meeting is really to acknowledge the power of God at work in our lives and the power of God that is at work in this body that is the church here in Fivehead. Please be praying that as we meet together week on Monday, that God will be at the very centre of all that we do. And that we will be seeking God's heart and seeking God's face as we make decisions together, particularly seeking God's heart for new leadership. And so please do be praying as we come to that meeting. Church meetings are, in one sense, a business meeting, but in another sense, they're just very much a part of our continued worship together. And we're not seeking to do what is right by popular demand, but we're seeking to understand what God would have us do at this time in the life of our church. And so do be praying and asking the Lord to help us as we continue to walk together with one another. I wonder, cool, there's my notes. Cast your minds back to summer of last year, Mr. Bean and the Queen, Isambard Kingdom Brunel, and NHS hospital beds, and then David Beckham coming down the Thames, Olympic flame in his hand. What am I talking about? What about the Olympics in particular? The opening ceremony. A huge fanfare and celebration of British culture and history and all that was kind of feel good about being a Brit. But imagine if you knew nothing of Britain, knew nothing of British culture, as you maybe sat amongst the 1 billion people who watched it around the world, maybe sitting in Beijing or Bahrain. And you knew nothing. How much of that would have gone right over your head? How much of that would you be saying, what does that all mean? I know I've watched other Olympic opening ceremonies and I've been so glad for the slightly mundane but at the same time very helpful commentary of all the symbolism of people kind of wafting and floating and doing whatever they do. And it symbolises something and it tells something about the culture of that place. I just wonder how that felt for people that didn't understand Britain. And yet for us, living in Britain, mostly it was pretty clear, wasn't it? There was a kind of a humour going on and there was a kind of a homage to our culture and we kind of just nodded. Occasionally went, what? But mostly nodded and smiled as we understood what was going on. Well, in chapter 2 of Acts, as the Holy Spirit comes, as there's a sound of a violent wind, as tongues of fire come and rest upon those first followers of Jesus who've been waiting in one place together, as they began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. And then those who were staying in Jerusalem heard what was going on, this kind of cacophony of noise, this excitement, and they gathered together and then they began to hear and see this incredible spectacle. And they heard people speaking in their own language. These ordinary people, just like you and me, speaking languages from far-flung parts of the known world. And verse 12 picks it up and says they were amazed. They were perplexed. And they ask each other, what does this mean? I want us to take just a few moments this morning as we come to communion to see that this passage tells us of the coming Holy Spirit that was promised. He had been promised to us, and he enabled those first followers to begin to speak and to live prophetically. As we look this morning, we need to see that so may we, by the power and enabling of the Holy Spirit, live prophetically. Maybe some of you are sitting there nodding. Some of you are sitting there thinking, what does he mean? To live prophetically, to speak prophetically. Maybe some of us know kind of the Old Testament where we have kind of images of Old Testament prophets, sort of quite strange and austere people that were called by God to give certain messages at certain times. And some of them are ending up doing very bizarre things, lying naked for days on end with all sorts of things going on and all trying to declare what God had commanded. And maybe you hear me saying to live prophetically and you think, well, no thank you. I don't see myself as an Old Testament prophet who might wear kind of sackcloth and ashes and declare doom and judgment and justice and all of those things. So what does it mean to be living and speaking prophetically? Well, perhaps it'd be helpful to see that actually to be prophetic, quite simply, is about speaking or doing something by divine inspiration, by divine leading. Doing something that points to God, that has come from God. Which as the Holy Spirit was given, as he was poured out amongst those first believers, that's exactly what was going on in this passage. God had promised that as Jesus ascended into heaven, he would send his Holy Spirit to dwell not with his people, but in his people. And he gives them the power to speak and to live for him. There are three things in this passage, conveniently, that seem to be prophetic utterances, which I hope will help us to see how this notion of the prophetic may not be so very far removed from us after all. That it's not simply about kind of wild-eyed, big-haired blokes from a different age speaking judgment upon a group of people. First prophetic utterance comes in verse 4 of chapter 2. If you take a look with me, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Those gathered in that place where they'd been told to go by Jesus, the Holy Spirit fills them and enables them to speak in tongues. As we said, languages that they simply had not learned. They were speaking out what God had breathed by his Holy Spirit upon them. And what they said wasn't just kind of chit-chat to pass the time of day. It wasn't just words that kind of just began to make sense. It wasn't to help out with whatever the equivalent of a Spanish GCSE might have been back there. I think my daughter actually would quite like that kind of divine intervention right now, that she might be able to divinely speak Spanish rather better than she can at the moment, although she's doing all right. But they were enabled to speak, to declare the wonders of God, to point these people from Mesopotamia and Cappadocia and Pontus and Phrygia and Asia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Cyrene, people who spoke different languages, they were all hearing these people speak of the wonders of God. What God gave them to say pointed those who heard them towards the God who loves them and wanted them to take notice, to hear from him. A few years ago, when I was training at college for ministry, we'd given up, or I'd given up my job, and we were in a position where we still had a mortgage to pay, but I was also going to college. And so we were living really by faith, you know, that God would provide for us week by week, day by day. And that was quite a roller coaster ride of God actually providing for us. We always had just enough. But there's one story that sticks in my mind, and it sticks in my children's mind. Because one day, two parcels came to our door. And I'll tell you what I need to tell you before that. Ellie and Hannah, at this time, were just getting to the age where they fancied joining the Brownies. And I think Hannah was too little, so she was going to join Rainbows. And, you know, one of the things that we'd agonise with, as I'd given up my job and everything, was we really don't want this to affect the children. But we were looking and we were thinking, boy, two sets of Brownie and Rainbow uniform. And it just so happened that that season, they had completely redesigned all the Brownie and Rainbow kit. So all the stuff that was in the charity shops was obsolete. It would have been so obvious that they'd got secondhand stuff that we didn't want to kind of do for them. And we were thinking, man, this is going to cost an arm and a leg to provide all this stuff for them. But then one day, about a week before they were due to start Brownies and Rainbows, two parcels plopped through the door. One with a complete Brownies uniform. One with a complete Rainbows uniform. I have no idea who sent them. The girls have no idea who sent them. And all we could say to the girls was, well, Father God must have spoken to somebody and just given them a little nudge and said, actually, would you bless those Graham girls by buying them those things? And that's all we can say. That somewhere God just nudged somebody in their generosity to provide something just beautiful, in a sense unnecessary. But it spoke powerfully to us, and it spoke powerfully to our children of a God who actually cares about the details. I see that as a prophetic act. I see that as something similar to what was going on in this passage, where these people were enabled to speak in different languages in order to point to the wonders of God, to people who needed to hear it. These apostles were beginning to learn to live and speak prophetically, following the prompting of the Holy Spirit within them. I wonder, do you believe that God could use you to speak about things you don't really know about, but that will point someone towards God? Have you ever thought that you should pray for someone, not really knowing why, just thinking, I need to pray for that person? and acted on it? Have you ever acted on the sense that you ought to maybe just encourage somebody, pick up the phone or go round to their house, maybe take them a bunch of flowers, or maybe just take them yourself and say, I hope you're doing all right. Do you know what? I think you're doing a great job with such and such. Have you ever acted on that kind of prompting? Because you see, God can use us to speak and to act in ways that we don't really know about, but that can point to Him. That can speak of a God who is active. Do you know, He could even use you to speak in a language that you've never learned. Maybe Eric and Liz, as you head off to India, there'll just be a moment where God wants to use you and He'll give you a word. Don't be terrified of that, but just know that if God wants to do that, He will enable you. But that might be the case just for any of us. Don't know what it will be that God will do. But do we believe that God can use us? The second and the third prophetic utterances. That's the first one in verse 4. The second and the third are kind of pretty closely linked. And they both start with Peter in verse 14. And I think it's really interesting. You may need say I need to get out more. But I think it's really interesting that in verse 14, where our translations say, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. That word that we've translated, addressed, is exactly the same word that is used in verse 4, where the others spoke as the Spirit enabled them. You see, the Spirit enabled all of those that were present who'd been filled with the Holy Spirit to speak in different languages. Then not long afterwards, the Spirit enabled Peter in an entirely different way to speak in his own tongue, to be able to address the people who were saying, what does this all mean? He's filled with the Spirit. But he's able to make sense of what's been happening because he was with Jesus when Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. I guess it's a bit like us being people that live in Britain, who were able to make sense of much of what was going on in the opening ceremony of the Olympics. There was a little bit of context for us. Peter had that. But then the Spirit enabled him to speak out and to speak into that situation. Not just from his experience of what Jesus had said, but actually by being able to point to Scripture and give assurance that this is something of God's. Peter counters those that were mocking them and saying, ah, they've just had too much wine. Because actually it's very easy, isn't it, for us to just kind of dismiss things that we don't understand. But Peter is able to see something of the kingdom of God at work, and he points others to it. Must have seemed so unexpected, so out of the ordinary, so not what those other people would have been looking for. But he was attentive to the Holy Spirit who had just baptized him and filled him. And he saw some words from the prophet Joel, which he then quotes, verses 17 through to 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, and before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter sees that what Joel had spoken all those hundreds of years ago was beginning to be worked out on that day. And he's able to see and make sense of that and respond to those who are saying, what does this mean? It means God is here. Peter talking to a bunch of people who just must have thought it was all a bit bonkers. And actually so much of what God wants us to do can feel like it runs counter to the cultural norms of our society. To speak about, to live out a life that points to the kingdom of God. People, that's prophetic. Because often it goes counter to what society tells us. And we need to be attentive to God. Holy Spirit helped Peter to do that day. He wants to help us to do the same, to run counter to the culture that prevails. Not to pick a fight, not to be awkward, but to actually point people towards the kingdom of God. To point people towards all that God has given us and all that God wants to do for us and for others. See, so many people, perhaps even us, kind of get to thinking that being a Christian is pretty much just about being nice to people, being a good person, which is kind of fine as far as it goes. But actually, anyone can act nice if they try hard enough. But for that to flow from a heart that's being transformed by the Spirit that dwells within, that is powerful. That will be noticeable. That will be prophetic. Let's take the Stable Coffee Shop just as an example. Stable Coffee Shop, which has been open nearly a year now, and there are many, many people who work their socks off as that part of our outreach into the community in all sorts of ways, and you are doing great. But actually, we could easily just be really nice people and give a really nice welcome so that people feel nice and warm and fuzzy and enjoy a cup of coffee, a smashing bit of cake, and get on their way. And actually, customer service is dead important, so we've got to be nice. The customer is always right, of course. Some shakes of the head. Yes, the customer is honest, Bob, really. But actually, for us to make inroads into our communities for the kingdom of God, we need the Holy Spirit to be filling us daily. Whatever our act of service is within that particular outreach, so that our presence is more than just nice. But actually, it speaks of the love of God coming out of us in grace, in warmth, in genuineness. And actually, the same goes for your workplace, for your home. For where you meet up with people down at the bowls club or the bowling alley or the pub or wherever it is that you socialise is exactly the same. We can try and be a good person because we know that's what we're supposed to do. But actually I, speaking personally, can't keep that up because I'm a sinner. Because myself takes over at various points. And that can begin to control me unless I allow the Holy Spirit to continually come and help me and change me, transform me to be the person that God created me to be. faulty as I am. So what Peter was doing that day, as he spoke out into that situation and pointed people towards God, we can do the same. It's not going to be the same thing exactly. We're not going to see another scenario like the day of Pentecost. I doubt. But that doesn't limit God and how he can work in us in ways that are appropriate for today. I wanted us to dwell on the third prophetic utterance just for a minute, because Peter uses it. He talks about it. I've read from it. But in Joel chapter 2, Peter speaks words that point to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Those words spoke to the hearts of those Jews who were gathered there. Because actually, the first bits of Joel's words apply directly to those that were there. You, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. But it doesn't stop there. Even on my servants, the address changes and it becomes wider. I will pour out my spirit on those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Joel spoke of a time where the Holy Spirit would be given, not just to some people, some of the time. Moses in Numbers actually says to God, I wish you would give the Spirit to everyone, not just to me. Please, give it to everyone. Well, that day came on the day of Pentecost. And I think that's amazing that Scripture is bit by bit being realised. That this book that we read, that we sometimes get a little bit kind of frightened of because we don't understand it all, but bit by bit, it is being realised. And there are things that Joel speaks of that I think are yet to come, that seem to speak of the return of Jesus and the final judgment that will come. And Jesus tells us we don't need to know the day or the hour, but we need to expect that he will come again. But I just wanted to dwell for a moment. It's almost an aside from what I've been saying thus far, that actually the Spirit of God came upon those people in that time to enable them to live and speak prophetically. And we can do the same as we ask the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. But these words that Joel spoke are actually part of a scripture that Malcolm Duncan, when he visited us a year ago in February, just really felt were a word for us as a church. And so I just want to read those words again to us. Joel chapter 2. And actually what Malcolm felt was for us starts at verse 21. Let me just read those words to you as we come towards the end of our time in the Word. Says this, surely he has done great things. Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig trees and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust and other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Ask you to really walk away with those words this morning, to wrestle with them, to pray them through, that they might speak to you. I get a sense that maybe there is something of God wanting to restore stuff that the last years have taken from us, and to restore us and build us up again. That there would be new harvest. And that the Holy Spirit might be poured out again in this fellowship. Let's be looking for God to be at work amongst us. Let's be attentive to what he might be saying to us. Through his word. Through his prompting. That we might live and speak prophetically.